Our scripture reading this morning is not as printed, but Acts 20:35. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
Good morning. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, through the written word and the spoken word, may we know your living word, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So the title of today's sermon, Who's in Control? So I think it's human nature to want to be in control. We try to eat healthy and exercise to control our weight. We watch what we spend to control our finances. We're nice to our boss so we keep our job. We go to the doctor for a yearly checkup to keep tabs on our health. We do these things and give ourselves the illusion that we are in control. All seems good until the stock market crashes. We keep putting on the pounds despite our best effort. We can't even come close to getting this year's harvest off, no matter how hard we try. We have a heart attack only a week after we go for a checkup and get the all clear by the doctor. Your 4-year-old innocent nephew is stricken with leukemia. I'll tell you about a time when things felt like they were completely out of my control. It was a beautiful April day in 2014. Dad and I had gone on a little road trip to Maple Creek, Saskatchewan. Because of my life as a farmer, rarely am I more than 30 minutes from home, and most of the time I'm 5 minutes from home. Here I was almost 6 hours away. I gave Lori a kiss before I left and said goodbye to the girls as usual that morning, another day. I got a call as soon as we rolled into our destination. 4-year-old Evelyn had wandered out into the pasture with the horses as Lori was feeding them. For some unknown reason, Lori's horse took offense to the intrusion by such a little person. Evelyn bore the brunt of a 2-footed kick square on the side of her head. Stars was on standby. Stars was on standby. I couldn't believe it. Here I was, 6 hours from home. Events were unfolding that I had absolutely no control over. No one could have control over the medical issues the trauma was causing in Evelyn's head these very few minutes. The local fire department and ambulance had arrived, but here they were at least a 45-minute drive from the hospital. The decision was made to bring Stars. Evelyn was sedated and intubated. And that's a picture of Stars in my front yard, and I can't believe it. The absolute only thing that I could do was pray, and did I ever pray? I prayed for Evelyn to survive, but I also prayed for the strength to carry on if she did not. In my mind, I prepared myself to say goodbye to my dear little girl, if not completely, at least to the one I had known. We started for the children's hospital, but I knew that things of this medical nature happened very fast. Even if I drove as fast as the car would go, I knew that by the time I got there, what was done would be done. Things were completely out of my control. So I want to start this message by prophesying to somebody. God is in control. It doesn't matter what's happening in the economy. It doesn't matter what's happening on the political level, who's the prime minister or premier. It doesn't matter what we do about climate change, healthcare, or anything else. God is in control. It's not the government or anybody else. As a child of God, your destiny is secure. God is your source, and heaven never has a shortage or needs a bailout. So the scripture we're going to look at today, that didn't show up very good now, did it? We're going to come read out of Exodus, and this is talking about the Israelites coming out of Egypt. So the first is out of Exodus chapter 1, verses 13 to 17. The Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with harsh labor in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Sapphira and Puah. When you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. If it is a girl, let her live. The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. So let's start with Moses. Moses was an Israelite baby. And if you know the story, his mom knew that she was going to lose him if she kept him, so she put him on the river. So Moses, the deliverer of God's people, he was destined to bring God's people out of Egyptian bondage. But from his birth, the enemy was set on his destruction. That which the enemy had marked for destruction, God had marked for life. Moses was taken in and grew up in the Pharaoh's house. He had the best of everything in the land, and the enemy paid for it. God had it under control. We continue with Exodus 13, 17 to 18. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went out of Egypt ready for battle. God had the power to simply teleport his people to safety, but he chose not to do it the quick way. So there are many times in our life that from our natural perspective, there are easier and faster ways to do things, but God has a better viewpoint, plus God has a higher purpose. Too many times in our lives, our initiative is to get through it, to go through it. But God's intention is that we grow through it. It's easy to find ourselves asking, why does life have to be so hard? The Israelites asked the same thing, and I'm sure all of us have asked that same thing lots. We continue into Exodus 14, verses 1 to 3. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi Haroth, between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will say the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. So next slide there, Dale. So this is a picture of the Pi Haroth area. It's pretty desolate, eh? So this is where, and that's the Red Sea on the left. So this is where the Israelites had been led to, and essentially they were trapped. It's not a welcoming place. So here are the children of God. From all visible evidence, they are trapped. There's no way back. There's no way forward. They're in a place no one ever wants to be. So much so that Pharaoh, who knew the land, thought that they were finished. The thing we have to fight is agreeing with the enemy. The devil knows the power of words. The devil wants us to feel lost and like there is no way out, like there is no one in control. Fear says, there's no way out, there's no one in control, it's hopeless, I'm finished. Faith says, I don't know what God's going to do and I don't know how, but I know God has it all under control. The more of a control freak we are, the harder it is to trust that we can let God handle things. Exodus 14, 4. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, and the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. So there is an enemy in your life. A battle that's been going on, it seems like you've got it under control. You turn around and there it is again. You pray and pray and you felt like you've got victory, but just when you start to make progress, there it is again. God said, the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. Imagine that. The cruel people you've been trying to get away with are right in front of you again. You've done everything you know how to do. You're exhausted. You're at the point of giving up. What's the use? It's hopeless. I can't do it. And we've all been there. You're finally in a position for a miracle. For God Almighty to do what you could never do. He's just been waiting for you to recognize your weakness and his strength. You'll never know God's strength till you recognize your weakness. The Lord said to the Apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness." As long as we think we can do it, we give no room for God to work. God may be wanting to do something new and fresh in your life, but he can't get through to you until he gets you in a place where you can't do it anymore. So let's continue with the Israelites. In Exodus 14, verse 21, "Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided." So God will use us to do his work. It's not a passive relationship. So here's a lesson that will change your life. God works the night shift. The greatest miracle in your life may be just an hour away. It always gets darkest just before the dawn. When the Israelites closed their eyes that night, there was the Red Sea in front of them. When they opened their eyes in the morning, there was an 8-lane highway. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. So here's the most awesome thing. They walked through the midst of the Red Sea with dry feet. God didn't just provide them with boats so they could sail across. He provided dry land. So not only can God bring you out, but he will bring you out in such a way that you never look like you've been in. Exodus 14:30 continues, "That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. The greatest army in the world was drowned in the Red Sea. Who could have imagined that?" So I don't know what you've been facing today, but God wants you to know that he has it all under control. And if you'll just quit worrying and complaining and fretting and fuming and start praising him, he's going to turn it around. And there are some enemies that you'll have been fighting that you're not going to have to fight anymore. So how did it end up for our family? Evelyn had a hematoma on her brain. She was monitored, but no physical intervention was required. Her jaw was fractured, but had not shifted, so no surgery was required. After several days in hospital, we were allowed to take her home. Being a mirror image identical twin, we have the luxury of seeing if there are any developmental delays, because we can compare her to her sister. And by God's grace, there have been none. I truly believe that this is a miracle. When we give God control, we give him the space to do his work. Please pray with me. Lord, we thank you that you are in control. As we leave this year, remind us of this truth every day. Amen.
So as we prepare for a new year, let's stand and sing, "Another Year is Dawning." Another year of leaning upon thy love.
May the wonder of Mary, the obedience of Joseph, the joy of the angels, the enthusiasm of the shepherds, and the generosity of the kings be yours. May God grant you the light of Christmas, which is faith, the warmth of Christmas, which is love, the righteousness of Christmas, which is justice, the belief of Christmas, which is truth, and the all of Christmas, which is Christ. Amen.